Today's episode is an incredible crash course in how to get started with breastfeeding. I interviewed Tasha Perrod, who is a lactation consultant in Cape Town, and we go through an incredible look at an early start to breastfeeding. So this is for mums who are pregnant. This is for mums who've just given birth, if you're still in hospital. And if you've got a friend who is pregnant at the moment and reaching the end of her period and before she gives birth, please do share this podcast with her because it is a goldmine of information. Tasha covers off what to do when things are going wrong and also how to establish breastfeeding. And she looks at it both from a practical and an emotional perspective. So do not miss out. So please do share this podcast. Also like and follow our podcast online so you never miss out on one of our episodes. And if this episode is really interesting for you, also go onto the ParentSense app and do the breastfeeding, the Confident Breastfeeders course. It's an incredible course. It's a course delivered by Tasha and so really, really useful. But without further ado, let's get started.
Welcome to Sense by Meg Forer, the podcast that's brought to you by ParentSense, the app that takes guesswork out of parenting. If you're a new parent, then you are in good company. Your host, Meg Forer, is a well-known OT, infant specialist, and the author of 8 parenting books. Each week, we're going to spend time with new mums and dads just like you to chat about the week's wins, the challenges, and the questions of the moment. Subscribe to the podcast, download the ParentSense app, and catch Meg here every week to make the most of that first year of your little one's life. And now, meet your host.
Welcome back, mums and dads. As always, fabulous to have you join us here today. And today is a really fabulous episode because today we have an expert with us. We don't have one of our mums. We've got one of our regular experts, though, and that's Tasha Perrod. Welcome, Tasha.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really enjoying these chats with you.
Yeah, it's been awesome to connect with you. Tasha runs a very busy practice in Cape Town, mums, and she also is the convener of one of our courses on the app, which we'll definitely talk about a little bit more later. She's also the mum to 3, including a set of twins. So she is what I always call a super mum because I don't know, I battle with one at a time, never mind two at a time. So she really has been an awesome addition to our team and I'm grateful to have her on board. She is a qualified lactation consultant. And is it an international board certified lactation consultant is what they call it, don't they?
Yes, it is. And then also I've done the South African certified qualification as well. So I'm proud to be a SACLC as well.
Excellent. Fabulous. And that's the reason that I mentioned that is, of course, that is what we're going to be talking about today, which is breastfeeding. It is, in fact, Breastfeeding Awareness Week as we record this. As it goes live, it'll be the week after. And we've got a breastfeeding talk coming up in the third week of August. And so, you know, we really wanted to have a very deep focus in on breastfeeding and supporting moms through this. So breastfeeding does not always come easily. It is supposed to be natural, and yet it's not really something we fall into naturally as mums. And so supporting mums through the breastfeeding journey is really, really important to me in the work that I do. And I know that it is for Tasha as well. So Tasha, today we're going to have a little bit of a different format and I'm quite excited by it because we're going to have a couple of sections where I'm going to ask you for 5 things. So the first 5 things I want to do with you is a 5 quick fire yes and no questions. And I know this is difficult because nothing is black and white, but I'm going to ask you to be black and white on these, yes or no. So I'm going to throw out 5 common beliefs about breastfeeding and I want your gut answer, just yes and no. And if we need to unpack it later, we can do so. All right. Good to go.
All right. Ready. Ready.
Question 1, is pain in the early days of breastfeeding normal?
No.
Question 2, do you need to eat a perfect diet to make good breast milk?
No, you don't.
And question 3, should breastfeeding come naturally if you're doing it right?
Yes, it should under the right conditions.
Excellent. Question 4, can you bond just as deeply with your baby if you bottle feed?
Yes.
Question 5, question 5, is breast is best always true?
No.
Okay, right. And I'm sure that you are itching to clarify your answers.
It's very difficult. Difficult to give a one-word answer.
Are there any of those that you really do want to unpack before we move on that you think that, you know, you really didn't feel easy just doing a yes or no on?
Oh, you know, I think every single question that you ask me has a whole whole chapter to unpack. So I think let's move on with other questions, and then we can go back to them, because I can pretty much spend the whole session talking about just those five questions.
So. About each of those, absolutely. So I thought we'd then break our chat today into three main sections, which is looking at just how to get breastfeeding started, then looking at when things go wrong, and then just giving mums a quick fix toolkit, and we'll go through each of those. So let's just start for those mums, particularly those who are pregnant. And mums, if you're listening to this and a friend of yours is pregnant and you battled with breastfeeding and got through it, please pass this on, because I do think that if we've got the right principles before we even start breastfeeding, so before our babies are born, it really increases our chances of kind of successful breastfeeding. So Tasha, I want to ask you, what are your five practical tips for mums to get off to a good start with breastfeeding? And let's be super actionable with this. And we're thinking about the mom who's listening from her couch at home, or from her bedroom in the hospital. She's just given birth, or she's preparing to give birth. What are five practical tips for getting off to a good start?
Okay, so my five practical tips, I mean, these are in no particular order, but first of all, as soon as you have your baby, the most important part is to get skin to skin with your baby. So as much as possible and as often as possible after your baby's born, that first hour after they're born is called the golden hour. And a lot of research suggests that if you start breastfeeding within that first hour of birth, it can lead to much better breastfeeding outcomes. So lots of skin to skin, just spending time with your baby. You know, really, there is nowhere that you need to go apart from being with your baby for the first 24, 48, 72 hours, first few weeks, really, of being in the hospital, and obviously being at home, of just having your baby on you. So the skin on skin, you know, it regulates obviously all the baby's kind of blood pressure and heart rate and temperature and obviously oxygen saturations. And the most important thing is it gets your oxytocin flowing. So the more oxytocin there is, the more prolactin there'll be, the more milk there'll be. So lots and lots of skin to skin. And it's just the most heavenly feeling anyway. So it's very easy to do, because it's just the most incredible feeling having your baby on you. Second thing is to feed often and to feed early. So as I said, kind of starting breastfeeding really, really early within that first hour, and to feed often. So a lot of the time, you know, we have the schedule of feeding in our minds. You know, we've kind of been fed this narrative of we have to get babies onto a routine immediately, and they need to feed like every 3 hours, and the clock says 10 o'clock and we need to feed our baby at 10 o'clock and we can't feed them a minute earlier. But the reality is, in the first few weeks, we want to feed our babies as much as possible. So obviously, frequent feeding means frequent oxytocin and frequent emptying of the breasts. And it's all about supply and demand. So obviously, the more you feed, the more you make, and the more stimulation there'll be, the more milk you'll make. So super, super important. And obviously, that kind of ties in with the skin to skin. So if your baby is lying on you, those feeding cues are so easy to see. So you'll see your baby rooting, they'll kind of sucking their hand, and they're getting a little bit restless. And if your baby is not with you, or your baby's kind of in a little bassinet, or, you know, in the nursery, in the hospital, you won't see those feeding cues. So that's why we really encourage rooming in, try and keep your baby with you. We don't really want to send our babies to the nurseries, because a lot of the time those feeding cues get missed, and the nurses sometimes bring your baby to you and your baby is screaming and angry, and that's the last sign of hunger. So, and it's very difficult as a new mom to actually put your baby to your breast when they are hangry, when they're screaming and they're ferociously trying to get to your breast. So it's very difficult to feed a baby like that. So it's so much more important to actually get those kind of cues in early, so that you can actually feed your baby in a really nice calm state, so that actually it's easier for you and your baby. So yeah, so we want to feed our babies for at least, yeah, kind of stimulate our breasts at least 8 to 12 times per 24 hours in the first few weeks. It's very difficult when some of the staff in the hospital are telling you it's fine, let's just feed your baby 3 hours in the daytime, and we can push to 4 hours in the evening, in the nighttime, but that is actually too long in the early few days. So as much as possible, you cannot overfeed your baby in the first few weeks. It really, really, really is important. So yeah, skin to skin, feeding often and frequently. Third thing is the most important thing is to ask for help early. And I often see moms in my clinic who actually come to me prenatally, so before they actually have their babies, and we have an antenatal breastfeeding consultation, and I chat to them about, yeah, just the kind of whole experience of breastfeeding. We talk about latching and how to position your baby. And it's so wonderful. I actually saw a mom last week at the beginning on Monday for an antenatal consult, and her baby was born on the Friday. And I went to see her on the Friday at hospital. She'd had a baby and she was sitting so confidently. And the gynae actually came in and said, "Oh, wow, are you a second time mom? You look so natural. You look so comfortable there." And it was just so amazing to see this mom sitting with so much confidence because we'd had that conversation before. So if you haven't connected with a lactation consultant before your baby, please, please, please do so. It's so important. The nurses in the hospital are wonderful, but there's just not enough time. You know, a breastfeeding consultation takes at least an hour. And also what needs to happen is that we need to assess your baby. We need to assess their suck. We need to assess their kind of their mouth and the way they're sucking, what's going on in their mouth. And we need to watch a feed. We need to kind of see the action of sucking. And unfortunately, nurses are so busy in hospital. They just do not have time, enough time to do that. So it's so important that if you find that you're struggling in hospital, that you really get a lactation consultant in. Many hospitals, unfortunately, don't have a designated lactation consultant. So it's so important to connect with somebody before you have your baby and then for them to connect with you afterwards so that they can actually come to the hospital or they can come to your home. Or it's so important that you actually come and see a lactation consultant in a clinic or at home, or as I said, in the hospital in the first few days. So again, when you leave the hospital, some of the hospitals recommend that you go on day 10 to have a well baby check. But by day 10, that is far too long. You really need to see somebody within that first 5 to 7 days after leaving hospital. So the earlier you get help, it's just a complete and utter game changer. And also, it's really important to check in regularly with that person. So lactation consultant, your clinic sister, pediatrician, just regular. So I would love to see my moms like at least once a week for the first 6 weeks, really, because every single week presents something new. So that regular connection, that regular help, it's such a game changer. It really, really helps a lot.
Yeah. It's especially in the isolated world we live in now, you know, a lot of moms back 200 years ago, you weren't isolated at home. You had your mom and your sister around and your aunt, and you were watching other people breastfeed. And so people could pick up if your baby wasn't thriving or if you weren't thriving in those first few weeks. So beyond just, you know, advice, it's actually just a touch point where somebody's actually just got a handle on what's happening in your and your baby's life. So very critically important. And I know this is only point number three, but I just want to pick up on something you said there. You know, you said get advice early, which I am absolutely all behind getting lactation consultants into see a mom within the first 72 hours. I know for a fact I wouldn't have breastfed successfully if I hadn't had that. And I did have lactation consultants and I was very quick to reach out to them. But you also mentioned something that I think a lot of people will be quite jealous about. And that's that beautiful story of the mom who you saw last Monday. She had her baby last Friday and it was going so well, because you're only one person. And a lot of our moms are not seeing somebody at 39 weeks gestation. And that's the reason why you've put together your course, which is the Confident Breastfeeders course, because, and moms, for your information, this course is actually in the ParentSense app. So if you haven't got ParentSense, go and download the app. The app is in the freemium version. You don't have to pay. You go onto the courses tab, and in the courses tab, you'll find under the feeding section, the Confident Breastfeeders course. Can you tell us a little bit about that course, why you built it, and how it'll support mums?
Yeah, so it's basically bite-sized chunks of all the information that you need. So whenever I do an antenatal consult, you know, be it in a antenatal course or a one-on-one lactation consult, you know, I go through all the different points and there is so much information about breastfeeding. So this course is like short little videos of 3 minutes or 5 minutes, and it covers pretty much everything, you know, why we want to breastfeed, why it's important to breastfeed, you know, how to latch your baby, how to get your partner involved, pumping, going back to work, bottle feeding, and all of that, and expressing, because there's so many questions around breastfeeding. So it's not even, yeah, I think it's just over an hour. So if you can't have access to a lactation consultant, it's such an easy way just to hop on. You and your partner can watch it, and you don't have to watch the whole thing at a time. You can do one little segment for 5 minutes and then hop back on an hour later and then watch two little segments for 3 or 5 minutes. So it's short little bursts of information, which And you can refer back to it as well, because obviously everything makes so much more sense when you actually have a baby and you're breastfeeding a baby, and you can go back and you go, oh, actually, yes, now I understand. That makes sense.
It is an incredible course.
It just makes it more accessible.
I mean, to give you an idea, mums, you get 13 lessons in it, and each of them are super short. Like, some of them are only 2 minutes long, and, you know, so they're fabulous. And there's everything from colostrum and hand feeding in the early days to feeding frequency to burping techniques. I loved your burping techniques. Lots of mums don't know how to do that. What it feels like when your milk comes in. What about your diet? Expressing and pumping, storing expressed breast milk. It's just a brilliant crash course. So mums, if you are pregnant or if you've got a friend who's pregnant, it's a lovely gift as well. You know, give them the gift of this course.
It's really amazing. Yeah, I mean, that is the greatest gift. A colleague of mine, she says, the thing that I always give my friends for a baby shower is a voucher for a lactation consultant. It's the best money that people will ever spend. Don't underestimate the power of help. I just want to go back to asking for help and just tying in that the partners are a massive part of breastfeeding as well. You know, a lot of dads or partners think like, oh, well, you know, the mom's just going to be sitting by herself and what can I possibly do? But again, so much research shows the involvement of partners leads to much better breastfeeding outcomes. So I love having the dads and the partners with me, with the moms during the lactation consults, because they, and also the antenatal consults, because they, from an outsider point of view, they're looking at the mom, they're looking at the baby, they're kind of thinking, okay, yes, I can see that position, I can see that's not working. And breastfeeding is not just about feeding, it's about positioning, it's about seeing if the baby's actively feeding, it's stimulating the baby potentially because they're too sleepy, waking up in the night, it's changing a nappy, it's burping, it's settling. So that really is a two-person job. So I really, really, really encourage the moms to get their partners involved and the partners to really get excited and involved. So it's really for the first few weeks. It's a complete game changer to have a partner with you for every single feed, if that is possible. I mean, there is absolutely no way I could have breastfed my twins tandem breastfed them without my partner. Like, he was there for every single feed, day and night, for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I'm so grateful, because that he really was the one who made it possible for me. So yeah, hugely, hugely important to have your support.
Brilliant. So going back to Tasha's top three tips, the one is often and early. So, well, that's point number two, often and early. So get your little one in your room from the beginning. The second one, the first one actually was skin to skin, which is get your baby onto your skin. And then the third one was get help early as well. So Tasha, what are your last two top tips for getting off to a good start? Here is a quick message from ParentSense. Inside the ParentSense app is the Confident Breastfeeders Guide, which is a crash course in getting your breastfeeding started by Tasha Perrard. It is the most wonderful course. If you are pregnant, if you are on an early breastfeeding journey, this is the course that you want to do. And we're going to give you 50% off this course. It's called the Confident Breastfeeders Guide in the courses section of the app. All you need to do is go into the app. You do not need to pay for the app to access the course. You click on the courses section, go into feeding. You will find it there, the Confident Breastfeeders Guide. And if you put in the code CBF for Confident Breastfeeder, CBF25, we will give you 50% off this course. So please do go have a look at the course, and it really is an absolute goldmine of information. Tasha, what are your last two top tips for getting off to a good start?
Yeah, so they all sort of tie together, but definitely checking the latch. So we want to make sure that your baby is latched properly, and you can only really do this with assistance of a lactation consultant, so or a midwife or a nurse who's kind of supervising you. Again, doing an antenatal consult or looking at a course that will show you, watching videos on YouTube just to show you how to latch your baby and what position is the right way to position your baby, because you'll know very quickly if your baby is not in the right position because it's painful. So breastfeeding, we know, is not supposed to be sore, but if it is painful, then we know that your baby's not latched on. And again, you know, I see so many moms who I see later on, you know, a few weeks later, and they go, and their nipples are damaged and sore and cracked and bleeding. And they're like, but the nurses told me that my latch looked good and it looked good. But it's like, but it can't be good if it feels good. It's painful. So we really want to make sure that the latch is great, so it's comfortable for you. And obviously having a better latch will equal better milk transfer, and the baby will get more, and it'll be a more pleasurable experience for all of you. And then the last one is to ditch the guilt. I think so many moms, are put so much pressure on themselves that, yep, when baby arrives, they know that, you know, I'm expected to feed my baby and it's going to be easy or it's going to be difficult. But there's so much kind of pressure from people to breastfeed. And a lot of moms start breastfeeding their baby and they just think, oh gosh, this is just not for me. I'm really not enjoying this. There is so much noise out there, so much noise on social media, you know, so many mommy influences of beautiful videos and pictures of moms just breastfeeding so easily. And this is the kind of image that we have in our minds that it's going to come so easily to us and we should find it enjoyable. We should kind of find it easy, but a lot of the time it's not. And a lot of moms have a lot of guilt about that, that they don't enjoy it. A lot of moms have got a lot of anxiety about it as well. So yeah, just kind of ditching that guilt and, but yeah, kind of just being kind to yourself because it's a journey that really you need help with.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, those are just five incredible tips. For me, breastfeeding wasn't an easy journey for a couple of the reasons that you spoke about there. I unfortunately got pushed into having my baby on a very strict routine from day one, which this is my first baby, which of course doesn't work. It doesn't work for breast milk. But it was hard, you know, and with all three of my babies, it wasn't the smoothest journey. I also had, and it's actually, I recently spoke to Dr. Sabina Deal, and she told me there's actually a word for it. I had a somatic sensation that would come through whenever my milk reflex ejection reflex. And it created what felt to me like pain, even when my latch was right. And for a very long time, it was a sensation some moms get. And so breastfeeding was just hard for me, you know?
Yeah.
So I would love to know like kind of the five most common breastfeeding battles that you see in your practice.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, we've touched on it a little bit, but lack of support. I mean, again, moms just plodding on through, plowing on through without any support at all. So I think moms, again, it's that kind of narrative of it's supposed to be difficult, but you just soldier on through. So yeah, lack of support. Yeah, I think a lot of moms don't realize that actually there are lactation consultants out there, you know, like it's a job, it's a certification, you know, we're studied, we're trained, and that's what we do. We're there to help moms. So I think that's a lot of moms don't realize that. So they really struggle alone. Yeah, so definitely getting support, I think a lot of moms struggle with. I think something else which a lot of moms struggle with is, well, actual low milk supply or perceived low milk supply. So a lot of moms are very anxious about the fact, are they actually making enough breast milk? You know, sometimes baby is quite sleepy or they're not feeding properly or they've got oral ties or some moms have had breast surgery or some moms have got hormonal issues or they're stressed or they're anxious and that can lead to low milk supply. But sometimes moms think they have low milk supply and then somebody says, oh, your baby's hungry. There's nothing worse as a new mom for somebody to say your baby's hungry because that is a direct indication that you're not doing a good enough job. You're starving your baby. You're not feeding your baby. As soon as somebody says that to you, you think, oh my gosh, I need to feed my baby. So then you start topping up with formula or you know, and actually it's not necessary. So again, checking in with somebody, checking for regular weight checks at least every week for the first few weeks and getting reassurance that you actually are making enough breast milk. You know, there are some situations where moms don't make enough breast milk and it is partly because of some, you know, as I said, of the main things I mentioned, also because of the babies. But this is only picked up if you are seeing a professional who can actually guide you through that.
Okay. Yeah, and I just want to just pick up on that. Moms, for those of you who are worried about things like tongue tie, I had the most incredible podcast episode. It's episode 111, so 111, with a lactation consultant in America who specializes in tongue tie. And it was such an interesting conversation, just unpacking what it is, what it looks like, and then what also should be done about it. So do go and have a listen if you are worried about that.
Yeah, I mean, tongue ties is a whole other subject, whole other topic. It's kind of like opening a bit of a Pandora's box. But yeah, we won't touch on that for another conversation. Yeah, so then also, I guess another difficulty is latching issues. So again, getting the correct latch, making sure that the baby is on properly. Again, there's no proper assessment sometimes happening with these babies. You know, it looks like a good latch, but it's actually just not a good latch. So if it's a good latch, it's a comfortable latch. And it's comfortable for you, it looks good. But again, you can't do this without a professional to actually help you. Problems, I guess, also another barrier is when it's painful. And again, it ties in with the bad latching and the incorrect latch. A lot of moms suffer a lot of pain. I mean, I've seen some moms over the years with nipples that are just absolutely shredded, bleeding, cracked, and they are just persevering because they've been told that it's normal. It's like, well, you know, it's supposed to be painful. So, you know, cracked nipples can lead to mastitis, it can lead to thrush, it can lead to abscesses. So, you know, sometimes if you're not managed properly, potentially, you know, one little crack or one, you know, something can lead to a lot bigger problem. So again, tying back to getting help, because that won't happen if you are kind of seeing guidance. And then also, I guess what sometimes we struggle with is that the babies are born too early sometimes. So babies are born, you know, potentially a little bit too early, they're induced too early. Sometimes this is cesarean sections happen too early. And it's so incredible to see a baby who is born at 40 weeks or 41 weeks compared to a baby who's born at 37 weeks. So we always encourage moms to really try. I mean, obviously sometimes it's out of their control, but we really try and push moms to get to their due date as much as possible, because a baby who's born at 37 weeks, their suck is not nearly as strong as a baby who's born at 40 weeks or 41 weeks. And the babies who are born 40 weeks, they are just more alert and active and they're feeding beautifully. But sometimes the babies who are born early, they are so sleepy and then they don't actually stimulate the breast properly. The baby looks like they're feeding, but actually they're just suckling and they're not actually actively feeding. They're not draining the breast and they're not getting enough. And that in turn leads to a low milk supply. And then we've kind of got to work at picking that all up. So yeah, it all depends on the baby.
Yeah, and a lot of moms don't realize that babies actually trigger labor, and that it's really triggered by the baby's hormones and growth and so on. And so, you know, we really do want moms to go into labor. And I always say to moms, even if they're having an elective cesarean, you know, very different if you have to have a cesarean section for other reasons. But if you're having an elective cesarean, let your baby actually dictate the date rather than trying to schedule it, you know, so get as close as possible to the end.
Yeah. And I think it's so difficult for some moms, you know, towards the end of your pregnancy, you are just so hurtful. You're just like, I can't keep this baby in any longer. And also I think because we live in a time where like we want to have control and predictability, and a lot of moms, like they can't let go of the fact that we can't schedule this baby into our lives, you know, like we need to know on this date at this time we're having our babies, and it's very difficult to actually let go of that unpredictability of life. So but it really makes a huge difference. I mean, the brain development that happens in the last few weeks of life is massive, absolutely massive. So I really, really encourage moms to try and get to closer to 40 weeks, because it's not just, yeah, it makes a huge, huge, huge difference for breastfeeding. It really, really, really does.
Absolutely. So you've mentioned a couple of the problems there that moms can anticipate. And I think it would be really good if we went on to looking at how do we fix this. So kind of when, and I hate to say this, but when things go tits up, which happens, excuse the pun, what is your quick fix toolkit?
Okay. So again, in no particular order. I think, you know, if you're a mom already, I'm sure you've had that experience where it's just everyone in the house is crying. You're crying, the baby's crying, your partner doesn't know what to do. And it just feels all too overwhelming. And when you're in it, it's just, you just can't see the wood for the trees at all. So I always, my first step is to pause, and you actually need to step away from the situation. So you first prize is obviously to give your baby to somebody else. So somebody, your partner, your nanny, your family member, and you actually just pass your baby to somebody else. So there really is no harm. And actually it's amazing to see that if you've been trying to settle a baby and they've been crying so much, passing that baby to somebody is just such a shift of energy, and that person can calm that baby because they haven't been settling that baby for, like, you know, hours and hours and hours. So that change in energy is huge. If you're by yourself, it's okay to put your baby down in their bed in a safe bassinet or cot where they're safe, and you actually just walk away. They'll cry. They're going to be okay. It's okay to let your baby cry. That's just them communicating to you that, you know, something's going on with them. But just popping your baby down and just walking out the room. Yeah, it's absolutely okay to leave them and to leave them safely for a moment. Second of all is just to breathe. So to breathe, to calm yourself, to take a few breaths. Don't underestimate the power of breath. Just even if it's for 10 seconds or 30 seconds, just basic breathing in, breathing out, and just trying to center yourself, because you are your head, you know, it's a very primal thing when your baby cries. Like you'll know that feeling. It just hits you to your core. You know, you can't think about anything else. You can't think rationally when your baby is crying. You just, your brain just shuts down and it just goes into kind of this primal, I've got to protect my baby. I've got to settle my baby. But just take the time to breathe, pause, and just really, and just acknowledge the fact that you need to have some time out. Also, on the other hand, sometimes actually just connecting with your baby. So taking your top off, skin to skin, you know, a lot of babies in the first few months, well, certainly for the first 3 months, you know, we talk about that fourth trimester, they just want to be back inside your tummy. Like these poor little people are born so prematurely. Well, you know, and they are still developing, like they can't see themselves as a separate part of you. So they just want to be back inside there. And it's really hard for them. It's a massive, massive adjustment. So lots of cuddles, lots of skin to skin. Do not underestimate the power of skin to skin. Sometimes moms get into the bath with their baby. You know, obviously, if you're in a calm state, just bathing with your baby is so beautiful and calming. So just connecting with your baby, skin to skin, lots of cuddles, wraps, baby carriers, then just carrying them. And then fourth one is to simplify. So take the pressure off the feeding. If you are struggling with a feed and your baby is screaming and you're crying and they just will not feed again, just leave it for a bit. If your baby doesn't have a feed for another 20 minutes or 30 minutes, they're going to be okay. You know, again, we kind of go back to the scheduled feeding. You know, people are so fixated on the scheduled feeding. So say like your baby feeds at 7 and now it's 10 o'clock and you're trying to feed your baby and they won't feed and they're screaming. It's okay. You can leave them for another 20 minutes. You can leave them for another 30 minutes. That's absolutely okay. And sometimes also when the breastfeeding is so hard, remember you can pump, you can bottle feed, you know, bottle feeding, or you'll get your partner to feed as well. But just simplify, just kind of don't overanalyze the time and the scheduling. It's okay to pause and to kind of stop for a bit. And then lastly is to shift. So you change the environment. So again, being at home by yourself with a baby all day it's difficult. It's really, really challenging. It can be quite claustrophobic. It can be quite lonely. So just changing, even just being in a room, like leave the room, go outside, go for a walk, be outdoors in fresh air. It's just it makes such a huge difference getting out of the house, step outside. Just kind of changing your environment makes a big difference. So basically, to summarize, pause, breathe, connect, simplify, and shift, and changing your environment.
I really, really love that. That's amazing. And, you know, there's a lot more information that we could give on, you know, like kind of crisis moments in breastfeeding and what to do about it. You know, what do you do with cracked nipples? What do you do around, you know, if your baby won't latch at all, how do you protect your breast milk supply, you know, pumping and, you know, and a lot of that is dealt with in your course, Tasha. And I think that, you know, what you've kind of spoken today about is a very high level look at particularly the emotional and the resilience that needs to come with breastfeeding. And then there are also some super practical things as well, you know, and I think moms, if you are wondering about those sort of things, you know, how to burp, how to express, how to store breast milk, that I think you must go and do Tasha's course. We've scratched the surface today. Our podcast short. I would love to mine down into a whole lot of really deep problem solving questions, but we don't have time today. But I really do think everybody go and have a look at Tasha's course. And then also you can reach out to Tasha. Tasha, do you do digital consultations like Zooms and so on?
Yes, we do. So we do virtual consultations. So you can actually just book that online on our website. It's a, you know, obviously first prize is to have an in-person lactation consultation, but I have a lot of moms who I speak to virtually. I mean, I have some people who I chat to overseas in different countries. So even if we can't physically see your baby, it's just all the questions that come around breastfeeding. It's a really game changer to connect with somebody.
So how would they book that? Which website do they go to?
So my website is www.wellmotherandchildclinic. And you can also find us on Instagram. So you can send us a message on Instagram. So it's WMC @sense_clinic. And actually on our Instagram page, we've got lots of really practical little videos as well. So there is actually a video on the Instagram page about how to latch your baby, how to bottle feed your baby, how to wear your baby, how to burp your baby. So yeah, lots of practical little videos on that Instagram page as well.
That's brilliant. Oh, just so useful. Okay. Thank you so much for all the nuggets. And then I must tell you, mums, is very excitingly, next Monday night, Tasha is joining me and Dr. Sabina Deal, who was recently on the podcast as well. And we're going to have a panel discussion on breastfeeding. So a lot of the questions that have come up in my mind during this podcast, we will then be addressing. And if you're listening to this podcast, please DM me on my Sense by Meg for a Instagram page and or the Parent Sense Instagram page, and I will add your questions in for Tasha and Dr. Sabine. So hopefully join us next Monday night for our webinar, and yeah, all the information will be on our Instagram pages. So thank you so much, Tasha.
Pleasure, Meg. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks to everyone who joined us. We will see you the same time next week. Until then, download Parent Sense app and take the guesswork out of parenting.